jam! Hello again, and welcome back to another episode of Tuesday Night Magic.
There we go.
I was
undelayed by 24 hours.
All right.
I had it, and then you said something, and it messed me up.
I had no confidence. I really thought that this was going to be the mana pool.
No. As I said, I think in last week's episode of both shows, I'm trying to work the O-Jam into everything, so I no longer have three completely different intros. Jam! So anyway, this is episode 520 of Monday Night Magic, recorded here on Tuesday night, here on the MTGcast Network. I am Chewy, not instilling confidence in my troops. I am joined this week by everyone's favorite goblin who won't stay dead and who also can't get value out of anything that he opens. Squee?
Well, it's a good thing I didn't open the show.
Wow. And also by everyone's favorite Star Trek Into Darkness fan, Clues.
Look.
He's going to stab you in your sleep.
Don't start with me again. I will reach through the internet and I will stab you.
Stay tuned to...
You're lucky I didn't swear there, too.
Stay tuned for an upcoming episode of School of Movies where Clues guests, where he gets to swear about Star Trek Into Darkness.
Well, if all goes well, we'll see.
Also, if you're a patron, then
kick me off.
At some point very soon, you'll get to hear a nice long rant by Clues about Star Trek Into Darkness that was brilliant to listen to.
There's a good chance I used up all of my passion before the show. I got nothing left.
That's good,
there
because
is swearing on nothing, Tuesday Night Pre-Magic.
Nothing but apathy from here on out.
Well, that's good because nothing actually happened this week, so.
Great. I feel nothing for that.
So yes, this week was Grand Prix Sao Paulo. And that's pretty much it.
Good night, everybody.
And yeah, it's team sealed, so no one cares. Except for the people that were playing it
love it.
Yeah, the people who were there.
The rest of us can't do anything with this because these deck lists are even more useless to the average person than normal sealed deck lists.
Yep. But how many people were there? I've lost the show notes.
1,092 humans were melded into 364 teams to take on one another in team sealed.
Yay.
Real cool.
And we've said it before. We'll say it again. We've been told that Team Sealed is incredibly fun, and we recommend that you all try it.
Yes.
That's it. We don't really have much more to say about that.
That is what I've heard. So let's see here. Who won? Who did win? These are not freaking player profiles aren't in order. I just want full names. I just want full names.
Yeah, the website was not designed for team-based events, and that becomes abundantly clear when we have to talk about, you know...
Okay, so the team of Francesco Barciella, ruining that, Eloy Pataro, ruining that, and, Carlos Ramau, who is a world champion, is that right? I'm so glad you guys are helping. Yes, he was a world champion, okay.
Like he's got a great t-shirt in his picture, though.
That is a great shirt. Always be yourself, unless you can be Superman. Then always be Superman.
It is admittedly a game-breaking power set.
Those are words to live by, I guess. But they won, and so that's pretty neat. And then second place... Oh, dude, if I click here, it'll take me straight to it. Bam! Is Magic. Team Inside Games, which is Jonathan Melamed, Mateus Martins, and Paolo Martinello. Yeah. And then in loading. Are you serious? Okay, here we go. In third place is Pascal Maynard, Brian Bronduin, and Shaheen Sirani. Well, those are some big names.
I never heard of those names before.
Well, at least one of them is going to be in the next three questions Grand Prix Charlotte. I haven't actually gotten to BBDs yet. So if there's no horrible errors, but it'd be BBD if everything is proper. And then in fourth place was Team Hawaiian Dreams, really, with Renato Pinto.
Pizza forever.
Sure, Renato Pinto, Leonardo Labruna, and Diego Coelho. That's a cool name. So yeah, there you go. Now, by finishing... Oh, God, I clicked the wrong button to close the tab. Now it's going to take a week to reload. I love the Magic website, because every once in a while it sucks.
While you do that, do you want me to talk about the irregularity in the finals?
There was an irregularity in the finals?
Please
in
do.
In the top four, they had a pairing error where they ended pairing the first seed against the third seed and the second seed against the fourth seed, which normally would be problematic, but because it's a draft, it's really hard to fix, especially when they don't notice it till nearly the end of the round.
Ooh.
Yeah, like the draft had already happened and the round was already basically done. And they went, oh, whoops. So, otherwise, they'd have just, you know, reseeded everyone and done it properly, but...
Can I blame Walter?
I mean, that's probably a good choice, but I don't think it was, actually. Does it say? What happened?
It just says, we printed the brackets and gave them to the players and judges at the table. Draft had begun with no one realizing the seeding was incorrect, and the error was only noticed after play had commenced, and both matches were nearly complete. So, doesn't say why. It just says, due to a misunderstanding of tournament procedure. So that's probably not Walter's fault.
Probably not, although going back to even the Were days, not the Walter days, it always had problems with printing brackets properly. I don't know why, it just does.
It does not have time for your shenanigans, I'm guessing. Maybe.
I also just don't know how well, like, so clues, when you do team events... Is the team entered as one person?
Kind of. I don't have a lot of experience with true team events like this, like where you have three players. But Two-Headed Giant, for instance, was always entered, because I had lots of experience from that from pre-releases. Two people are entered, but then they're treated as a single entity for pairing, sort of, because it's got two DCI numbers. Look, the software wasn't really meant to do what it's doing right here.
Oh, so it's like meld, and if one of them gets DQ'd, then both of them get DQ'd.
Sure, let's go with that.
Yeah, see?
And if one of them gets returned to your hand, then, oh god, look out, there's another one!
Yes. So the other thing that happened of note is that Brian Brondwin has taken the lead over Tamaharu Saito for the Grand Prix Master spot at Worlds. Because, you know, now instead of having, like, Nerd at Large, whatever, most points from whoever's left, the spots have, you know... fancy names, you know, mid-season champion and blah da 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 da, and Grand Prix Master is one of them, so lots of players, well, three mainly, are racing towards it, Reed Duke, Saito, and BBD. And so, yeah, BBD is now in the lead by making the top four. Saito just missed, apparently he just missed the top four on tie breaks from a 0.02% margin.
Ugh.
So that's why we always say you can't just look at the top eight.
Yep.
So, yeah, there you go. If you're paying attention to all the various races of who's getting into Worlds, that's pretty big news.
Yep, and it's the last big event you're going to have for a few weeks.
Yeah, there isn't another GP until, what, the end of the month?
Like a limited one that comes out right after the new set, and then the Pro Tour as usual? That's usually how they do it. Let me actually confirm that.
GP, yeah, I got it. GP schedule... October, July 1st to 3rd, and then there are three limited events, 29th through the 31st, in Montreal, Stockholm, Sweden, and Sydney. And then, of course, the Pro Tour will be the following week.
Yeah.
In Sydney.
And the survivors of that will move on to normal.
Yeah. Provided they can all actually get visas to get there, because apparently that's some sort of problem. But whatever. I personally usually don't care about this sort of thing, but given... the spot that is open. I'm pulling for BBD because he is easily one of the nicest guys I've ever talked to at these events. Everybody talks about how great a guy Reed Duke is. I've only spoken to him a couple times, and he's always going somewhere. But BBD actually would, like, stand there and talk to you, and it's awesome. So there you go. That's cool. How I judge my... that's how I pick who I'm a fan of. Are you a jerk? No? I like you.
You good people.
So, yeah, but since, again, it's just Team Sealed, there's nothing to talk about, really.
Team Sealed is pretty much a one-off time anything.
Yep.
Because the next time it comes up, it'll be a different format, so.
Yep. Okay, then. So, as far as the news goes, like, nothing happened.
We're in the pre-new set lull.
Yeah, but, like, not only that, but, like, nothing happened. Somebody is buying up Legacy Staples, and Reddit's in an uproar, but we don't care about Reddit. And, or MTG Finance.
There's not much to say there, like, yeah. Sort of interviewing the person, we're not going to know anything.
Yeah, like, not only do we not care about Reddit, but the three of us personally don't care about MTG Finance. So
I'm going to give some insight here, though.
Okay.
I'm fairly certain that the person who's buying up the Legacy Staples is doing it to make money when their prices go up.
Yeah, they're dumb.
You don't say.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Now, I've used my magical powers to come up with that they're not just doing it out of spite.
Your scrying pool? Do you have a limpid pool of time?
I had to use blue mana.
Wow, that's how serious Clues was about this. Or, you know, business as usual, depending on whether you're talking to Clues or Bill.
I mean, I will use blue mana.
What? No, I mean, whether or not Clues was using blue mana.
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, Clues is always using blue mana.
See?
He's like Painter's Sermon, that stuff. It's great. That's how that lens.
Although one little
scuttle
thing did...
Mud over there.
One little thing did happen. That Art of Magic the Gathering Innistrad book came out.
It did, yes.
Last week.
It looks very pretty.
Yeah, the 27th. So we recorded then, even, and we're terrible.
I think we just missed
somebody who bought that and who now has it, I need you to do me a favor. Find the 27th word in the book and tweet it to @TheManipool.
Are you counting, like, the legal stuff in the inside corner?
No. From book proper. Okay.
Oh.
So not, like, the table of contents.
Yeah, no. Skip all of that. Go straight to, let's say, I'm sure there's a foreword. I guess it would probably be the 27th word of the foreword in that case.
All right, then. Sure, why not? Tweet it at me so I can be like, the hell?
That's right.
Don't tell him why.
Do not. Even if he asks.
Be sure to tweet at Clues. That's @LaCluse, spelled just like it is in the show notes.
But if
let
I
him
ask,
know how much you like Star Trek Into Darkness.
Don't.
Star Wars Into Darkness. Tell him that.
Don't.
Please, actually, Star Wars Into Darkness would be freaking sweet.
Please, for the love
movie?
Of God and all the
yeah, it'd
holy,
be a Sith movie. Wouldn't that be sweet?
Depending on who's directing it, maybe.
Look, I've never had to
Peter
block an
Jackson.
I've never blocked an account on Twitter. Don't make me start now.
Anyway. So yeah, that
get more bots.
That happened. The other thing that has happened. Yeah, you don't block bots. I occasionally block bots.
Okay, a real account.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. The other thing that happened is, hey, look, cards.
Because yeah, it's like, there's a set coming out or something.
We are neck deep in preview season. And because 2/3 of us have other shows where we're going to talk about this stuff, we're only going to hit the extremely high notes here.
Yeah.
Which means really the Planeswalkers.
The Planeswalkers and accompanying oaths, because big surprise to no one. So
yeah.
Do we want to start with the big one?
What, aren't they both the big one?
Well, the one that has an oath.
No, let's do it in chronological order. So they revealed Tamiyo first.
Okay, so Tamiyo, field researcher. She's back, everybody.
Yay!
OP.
Is she?
I don't know. It's Tamiyo, so probably.
I mean, I hope she shows up in organized play. All right, so she cost 1, a green, a white, and a blue for a mythic rare Planeswalker Tamiyo, as you would have probably guessed, except she's banned now.
Yay!
And my theory behind that is that she took a look at Standard, using her amazing insight, and said, you know what? Green-white's really good right now. I'm getting in on that. Which I respect, because it distances her from Jace. So yeah, she's 1, a green, a white, and a blue. She starts with 4 loyalty, so 4 mana, 4 loyalty. Pretty par for the course there. Her first ability, +1. Choose up to 2 target creatures until your next turn. Whenever either of those creatures deals combat damage, you draw a card. So breaking that down, it's not you may draw a card, like you will, if they deal combat damage. Doesn't have to be to a player. Doesn't have to be your creatures. You can make their creatures draw you cards when they attack Tamiyo, which is the most unique way I've seen of a Planeswalker protecting itself. You can make your creatures deal damage when they block, if you get attacked. Works great with Vigilance, works great with Double Strike, making good use of that white mana.
It's vaguely ridiculous.
And it's up to 2.
Because it's so incredibly flexible. Like, you can mini fog two of their guys. Well, okay, if either of those deal combat damage, I'll draw cards.
It makes it a little easier to trade off your guys when blocking. And if you have nothing and you drop Tamiyo out and you plus one targeting their creatures, well, even if they kill Tamiyo, you're getting two cards out of the deal, which is pretty sweet.
Yeah. It's completely nuts just because of all the possibilities and all the ways that you can totally use it.
Now, obviously, if you plus one and they choose not to attack with their creatures, that's still a protective ability in its own way. And if your creature gets killed before it can do damage, then that sucks. But I mean, it always sucks when your creature dies. It just sucks a little more. Not bad for a plus ability. All right. Do we want me to just read all of them, or do you guys want
one? Yeah, no, go for it.
I guess you guys will have to do this later. All right. So again, starting loyalty 4, -2 ability, tap up to 2 target non-land permanents. They don't untap during their controller's next untap step. Now, this is more in line with Tamiyo's previous ability of simply locking things down. Key difference being this time it's a minus ability that does that, so you can't just do it every turn. But tapping up to 2 target non-land permanents, it's still pretty impressive. Like, this is more the short-term protection, but also you can tap 2 things down the turn she comes out, and then the next turn you can, you know, play your blockers or whatever, and then start ticking up. And it'll buy her a turn to start making her way towards either her ultimate or just controlling the board in general. Like, you can't get lands, but honestly, most of the time you'd probably be using that against creatures anyway. And you can always alternate one turn to the next turn. And then you'll end up with a turn where they have 4 non-land permanents tapped down for a brief amount of time, which might be all you need to win in an aggressive green-white deck that has a tiny bit of blue in it. So that's pretty great in its own right.
Also pretty sick.
And finally, at -7, so it'll be a few turns before you get there, unless you're a jerk using Doubling Season and ruining the game right now. -7, draw 3 cards. You get an emblem with, you may cast non-land cards from your hand without paying their mana costs.
Sounds fair?
No, I don't think you got that right.
I don't think that's right either.
I mean, I'm not paying the mana cost on lands. It seems perfectly valid to me.
That's true. Why do lands get the special treatment?
Why can't everybody be like that?
Yeah.
But yeah, so if you tick Tamiyo out with the +1, well, guess what? You're probably drawing cards anyway. Now you can cast them for freebies. She gets 2 omniscience. Kind of neat.
Draw 3 cards, omniscience. Damn!
And omniscience, you can't dispel.
But yeah, like, I've heard people complain that Tamiyo's in Bant, and to those people I say, shut up.
You don't want this in Mono Blue.
No, you don't. You don't want this to be easy to cast. Or no. Any easier than it already is. When, I guess mana's not near perfect anymore, but it's still pretty good.
Well, like, Tamiyo cost 4, but the decks that are probably going to want to run her will probably be playing her as, like, a 5 or a 6.
Yeah, probably.
So really what it means is you cast her with mana up to protect her, or you cast her and a blocker, which is fine. That's perfectly serviceable in the late game. She's not going to be the card you go for in the super aggressive deck, because while drawing cards is awesome, those decks are already doing fine with the cards they have, and they would rather than using a turn 4 for that, they would just drop Gideon or something else. But for the decks that are going to go super mid-range or mid-range that wants some game against, you know, long game control, I can see this being relevant. Keep in mind, 3 mana planeswalkers historically don't really do much.
Yeah.
Like, you guys remember Sarkhan? Like, the not dragon one? Like, what
was
has
that
he done?
The mad?
Oh, that's the other Sarkhan. The Sarkhan from Dragons.
Sarkhan Vol?
Yeah, that, no.
No, he costs 4.
And he's mono red. And he's red green.
No, he's red green.
Yeah. But yeah, that's exactly the joke we're going for. No one remembers the other Sarkhan because his card was great, but no one ran him because he's 3 colors and you don't have time for that.
Oh, Unbroken.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you actually forget him?
He costs 5.
Yeah, I think I actually did.
Well, that's just proving the point.
Wait, were you saying 3 colored planeswalkers or 3 mana planeswalkers? Because my brain was looking at 3 mana planeswalkers going, there isn't a Sarkhan that costs 3.
No, that'd be scary.
Okay, right.
No, 3 color planeswalkers. 10 did not see a lot of play. I mean, just
making sure.
Bolas got, like, he was awesome, but it's not like Bolas was the main goal of your deck.
So yeah, we'll see where Tamiyo goes. I think for the cost, she's probably going to carry her own weight. But if the format continues to be dominated by really efficient, aggressive white-green X decks, she might not even fit into those because they'd rather just play two creatures or continue with their creatures that cost three or less synergy instead. But likewise, using that plus ability and then attacking with two creatures is a great way to keep getting cards that you can then cast the next turn. So who knows? It'll be interesting to see where the format goes. But I like her. I think it's a good use of Tamiyo.
Yeah, I mean, she's pretty sick. Sick! Okay, so the other one that they showed was Liliana, and I have actually not read her yet.
You should read her out loud.
You should read her. Go for it.
I thought that I had, because I realized earlier today, I never actually looked at what Liliana did. So I went to Google Images, I typed in Liliana Eldritch Moon, and the first one that popped up had the Liliana art that you see all over the place. And I went, oh, sweet. And I read it. And it was insane. Well, it cost three and had five loyalty, and the three abilities were good. You know, they're not great, but it cost three and had five loyalty. And I'm like, this is sick! And it turns out that was a lie. Thanks, Google Images, you dick. So, okay. Reading this, like I said, for the first time, Liliana the Last Hope. That's different art.
Yeah, it's the art that they previewed a few weeks ago.
Yeah. It costs one black for a three loyalty Liliana Planeswalker. Okay. Plus one. Up to one target creature gets -2/-1 until your next turn. Hey, it's weakness, right? Was weakness -2/-1?
Possibly.
You guys don't know. You're not old school. Weakness.
Not that old school.
Yeah, weakness is -2/-1. Okay.
It's like an unholy strength or a holy unstrength.
A holy weakness, it turns out. Unholy, yeah. Whatever.
Unholy unstrength.
Yeah. Okay, so that's plus one. -2. Put the top two cards of your library into the graveyard. Then you may return a creature card from your graveyard to your hand. Oh, cool. So she's a mill two, raise dead. That's fine. Right? I mean, anything?
Well, I mean, so you put two in, and then return a creature card from the graveyard to your hand, which means you get a creature card to then, you know, cast on the next turn or something.
Right.
But dumping two cards in and getting one back effectively lets you cycle Liliana for a creature in nearly any deck that's going to run her. So that's not a bad option considering she's still sitting out there and someone's going to have to hit her if they want to get rid of her before the next turn. So that's fine. I mean, getting another card for it, keeping in mind you're dealing with a 3-mana Planeswalker, so already it's pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
And just being able to cheese up your deck is nice too.
Yeah, seems good. All right then, Limit Break, -7. Remember, she starts at 3. -7, you get an emblem with, at the beginning of your end step, put X 2/2 black zombie creature tokens onto the battlefield, where X is 2 plus the number of zombies you control. Holy crap!
It is the slow-moving inevitability.
Isn't there a black enchantment that does this from original Innistrad? Except for the 2 plus, it just doubles
like Endless Ranks of the Dead or something?
Yeah, was that it?
Yeah, that sounds right.
But these don't enter the battlefield tapped, and you get two extras. It's like Risk. Just here's two guys.
Yeah, so the difference is Endless Ranks of the Dead is at the beginning of your upkeep, put X 2/2 black zombie creature tokens onto the battlefield, where X is half the number of zombies you control rounded down. So this is at the end step, and it's going to always give you at least two, right?
Yeah.
That's a lot nicer, because the problem with Endless Ranks of the Dead is that if you don't have any zombies, it does nothing.
Yeah, I also forgot that it was half, because I've never actually played with it. So yeah, this is pretty nuts. So let's say somehow your two zombies that you got the first time survived, so then next turn you get, or at the end of your turn you get four, which is 2/2, so now you have 6.
Yeah.
So it can get out of control, but if they wipe your board, you start over with 2,
yeah,
which is
you
amazing.
You still have something. I mean, that's the benefit of the emblem. I don't know how often she's going to make it that far, but also I think even if you don't see Liliana directly doing things on the battlefield, just the presence of a recurring -1 ability for toughness is going to shape the way that people play decks if she sees any play at all. Because straight up turn 3, kill your 2-drop, also I have a Planeswalker at 4, is a thing. Like, that will be relevant. So I don't know. I think it'll really depend on how well black punches its way through, but it's not a bad card for 3 mana, and it might turn out to be an amazing card as people get
better tools for the minus two ability.
Yeah, have we said out loud it's no Liliana of the Veil?
I mean, that's kind of self-evident. I was about to say, Liliana's had, what, three lilies now? There was Vess.
Oh, there have been a number of Lilianas now.
I thought it was four.
Is it four? Okay, hang on. Lily.
We're on the fifth one.
Yeah, Liliana. Okay, search.
There was Vess.
So we had Liliana Vess, which was pretty good. We had Dark Realms, which no one cared about but me, because I just thought she was awesome, but she didn't do much tournament-wise. Liliana of the Veil, who is still borderline insane, and...
Heretical Healer.
Heretical Healer. Oh, yeah, Flippy Lily, who no one cared about at all. So I guess we're due for another good one? Because it was all right, no one cared, good, and now we're back to no one cared. So I go, okay, this one's all right, if it's going to invert itself.
Well, all right.
All right.
I think it's really and truly just going to depend on what the black deck wants to do.
Yeah, it's totally dependent on if there's a home for her.
Because keep in mind, that minus two, minus one is until your next turn. So even if she's not killing something, it's not going to be doing damage next turn in all likelihood at that point in the game. Like, it's very unlikely that they're going to have something that can survive a minus two, minus one and still deal damage. So that's a very aggressive protection ability.
Yeah. So. Hey, Clues, would it be all right from a rule standpoint if I gathered up a bunch of copies of Weakness and when I use her plus one ability to just put it like sideways on top of their creature? Like, okay, this has this until next turn.
Is Weakness legal in the format you're playing in?
No.
Is it a magic card you would be sitting on the battlefield that is not being played?
Yes.
Ask your head judge.
All right. I mean, it's clearly gonna, as long as you like I said, you lay it sideways on top of
it. Wait a minute. You only play Commander, so it's fine.
I don't even play that, but no,
you
if,
only play
like,
Hearthstone, so that's, I, it's fine.
Put oh, that's true. I can totally use Weakness
all
in
your
Hearthstone.
Hearthstone games. Yeah.
Let the record show that Clues is the one who brought up Hearthstone first this time.
Damn it! You tricked me!
But no, seriously, when I crack a Lily at the pre-release, I'm gonna have to
as
drive back home and get some Weaknesses.
Would you say it's your Weakness?
It will be.
Weakness was a common, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah,
I can't remember the last time it was
reprinted as recently as like Magic 2010.
Oh, wow, that was a long time ago.
So you could probably find a bunch of them for nothing and just cut out the art and stack those like tokens.
Wow, it was in M10. I probably got a whole crap load. I was actually thinking of like the Alpha Beta Unlimited
revised
art.
Well, you probably
don't
want to cut those up. But...
Well, I mean, I don't have any Alpha Beta ones, but like the revised ones, I've got a million of them, I'm almost certain. When did the art get better? Didn't. Oh, 5th edition was when the new art came. Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Like, even the revised one's only 15 cents if you want to get in on that.
Yeah. Just nothing good there. So anyway, that was just an idea. Yeah, so not only did Lily...
Why is the Collector's Edition one more expensive than Unlimited? Black bordered.
Yeah.
Okay,
never mind. Totally.
Never mind. My bad.
Not tournament legal. Doesn't matter. Okay, so not only did Lily get a new card, a new Planeswalker, and, like, well past the thigh-high boots, but she also got an Oath.
She did.
Yeah, which means she is joining Team Gatewatch.
And I would like to point out, actually this has been pointed out to me on Twitter by many people, that I called the flavor text.
Well done.
Many people, I actually had someone say that when they read the flavor text, they read it in my voice, which is both charming and kind of scary since, you know, Liliana. But whatever. I'll keep watch. Happy now. I love it.
There you go.
I have no idea what her oath actually does, though. I read it once, and I was like, I think we talked about this.
Well, Clues hasn't gotten to read
it yet. All right, yeah. So it is Oath of Liliana. It costs 2 and a black, total of 3 mana for a legendary enchantment. It's legendary. Stop playing 2 of them. What's wrong with you?
Well,
You can totally do it.
It's not a bad idea if you have them.
Okay. It's not the worst idea ever. When Oath of Liliana enters the battlefield, each opponent sacrifices a creature.
Dang.
That's why it's okay.
All y'all. At the beginning of each end step, if a planeswalker entered the battlefield under your control this turn, put a 2/2 black zombie creature token onto the battlefield.
Yes.
Boom.
You know, I see this as Liliana being nice to her friends. They show up and she's like, and you get a zombie? And you get a zombie.
Here, have your own personal zombie to stand in front of you and take this hit that's coming.
I like to think that each of those sacrificed creatures are what become the zombies.
Yeah, that sounds good too. But yeah, that's good.
I think it's perfectly serviceable in a world where causing opponents to sacrifice creatures, depending again, if we're running the world of Hexproof and not the world of tokens, that's great.
Yay.
Hooray.
Someone also pointed out to me on Twitter, I don't remember who said this, so I apologize. I said, is it just me, or does the Eldritch Moon set symbol look sort of like Liliana's headgear thing?
And, a bit, yes.
And that's sort of, you know, it's a squid, and it's Liliana's headpiece thing with legs? Like, what?
Which she stole from an angel.
Yeah, on this very plane, so, yep. You know?
Aha! Liliana's an angel.
I don't think that is the case.
Is that why she hates angels so much?
Yes.
Wait, no, because they told us her story. She's actually not.
She's a human.
She is human.
It is there on the type line. But I...
Wait, no, it's not.
By the power of the moon,
when she was a human, she was a human.
Oh, wait, it is on her type line, isn't it? I forgot she had a dude, like a critter dude, not a planeswalker dude.
And I guess just to... For the limited time that we have the flippies still around, you can totally flip a Liliana with the oath out to get an extra zombie.
Yes.
Which is actually pretty amazing given the Liliana that you just flipped. So.
Or more likely flip a flippy Jace to get a...
Well, zombie. I mean, I guess if you are a bad person, you can do that. And let's be real, you're probably a bad person if you're thinking about it.
Yeah.
So, hey, good times, Magic Set.
Yeah, great oldies.
And a tree! Listen to their podcast to hear about the tree.
The tree is really funny.
Yeah.
Oh god, there's a legendary spider. Are you serious?
Oh, no one told you. I thought Twitter would have had a party with that.
Right? I thought they would have too. That's weird.
Yeah, we finally have a legendary spider for your spider EDH deck when you play against Julie.
Just because that's me. Let's see. Ishkana Graph Widow. Oh, that's gross. Graph Widow. It doesn't roll off the tongue very well. Neither does an Ishkana.
It's also a spider.
For 4 and a green, it's a legendary 3/5 mythic spider with reach because spider. Delirium. When this enters the battlefield, if you have Delirium, put 3 1/2 green spider creature tokens with reach onto the battlefield. Ooh, she has babies. Ew. And then for 6 and a black, target opponent loses 1 life for each spider you control. Ooh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So the big spider shows up and makes baby spiders. And then if you don't deal with it very quickly, they swarm you.
Well, see, what I was going to say was the big spider shows up and has baby spiders and then you die.
I mean, that is
what happened to me. So, okay then, legendary spider. That's a thing. Hey, look, they reprinted Prey Upon. Nice. Okay. Right. So yeah, for more on that, go listen to every other podcast. Magic podcasts, including the Mana Pool and Random Discard.
Indeed.
Because new cards are, you know, fun to talk about. Whether we like that Emrakul's in the set or not, we love talking about new cards.
It is what we do every 3 months.
Yeah.
If not before.
You'd think we'd be better at it by now.
Nope.
What's a magic?
No, it's what's an EV.
That's later. Later. Yeah.
Look, I bought some cards from that new Magic expansion set. I think it's called Yu-Gi-Oh, and the cards aren't the same size. What do I do about that?
Buy new sleeves.
Yeah, you're good.
Ah, okay, great.
Make sure they're opaque, though.
Oh, my God. So on the last episode of the Mana Pool, when we talked about Meld, Brian mentioned the card game Yu Yu Hakusho that had, like, insane, like, build-a-creature card, like... things that went across like 6 cards, and JT sent us a picture of one of these things. Well, pieces of one of these things.
Why Hakusho would grow to be across 6 cards?
I mean, I don't know.
I'm thinking about it from the context of the show. So,
well, apparently the way that the card game worked, it involved like building a team or something.
Uh-huh.
Out of cards, and then later in its life cycle, they decided they would just have one thing across multiple cards that would take the place of that. okay. or something. There's people yelling at it right now, including possibly JT. I don't know if he listens to this. Hang on. It's
this is
right.
How we find out.
It's right. Let me just go read the comment. Oh, okay. Okay. There were characters that were made up of multiple cards. In the game, your teams are usually made up of four characters from one faction, with each faction giving you some bonus, blah, blah, blah. Toward the end of the game's life cycle, they started putting the king... Okay, some of the factions work for the kings that they're named after. Okay, towards the end of the game's life cycle, they started putting the kings on cards, and each king took up all four card slots.
Okay, so it's reserved for the super bosses.
Essentially, they became the pre-mending planeswalker characters that WotC says can't fit on a card. Get it?
Sure.
Oh, JT goes on, the terrible part was that the pieces were very hard to find. Imagine one piece was a rare, one was mythic, one was an expedition, and one you could only get as a mythic from special boosters you could only get from attending tournaments.
Duh. I would kill something.
Yeah, which is why so many of the like upstart TCGs, they like show up and they're super amazing and they make lots of money and then they just die. It's because of crap like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there you go. That was JT's response about Melt, which I thought was really terrifying, especially when he tweeted a picture at me, and I was like, buh! But okay, then. So, just while we're on cards, they've shown the alternate art... Wait, no. Are they... I can't remember how this works anymore. Okay, so, yeah, they're getting rid of intro packs. Or intro... What are they called? Intro packs, yeah. Which means that Eldritch Moon is the last time you can get intro packs... With the foil, I can't remember what changed. Are these alternate art now? Or are these just foil?
The intro packs?
Yeah, because because of the way that something changed.
The intro
changed
packs are normally alternate art, aren't they?
Aren't they? I thought that was right.
Yeah, I think the intro packs have been alternate art for a while since they stopped doing alternate art pre-release thing.
That's what it was. They used to just be foil, but now they're alternate art because the pre-release things aren't alternate art anymore. Right. Thank you, Bill. I knew something had changed. And I've been playing for so long that I can't remember what's right and what's not.
Yeah, that tends to happen as we make worse decisions as fans of Magic the Gathering.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you want to check these out, the link is in the show notes. The Sanctifier of Souls, the Ulvenwald Observer, the Niblus of Frost, the Assembled Alphas, and the Noosgraf Mob are the five intro pack rares. The last five intro pack rares. Dun, dun, dun.
Scream.
So, yeah, there you go. Because they're going to replace it with the Planeswalker decks. Remember right. that? Yeah, that's a thing. Or will be a thing. Kaladesh. And is that it for, like, news? Like, really?
Yeah.
For the most part, yeah.
There was a really interesting Twitter post from MTG Philosopher that ended up in our show notes that's really funny. MTG Philosopher says, maybe Sigarda has always been destined to protect her world from the Eldrazi. And it shows a picture of original Sigarda, host of Herons, with her spells and abilities your opponents control can't cause you to sacrifice permanence, right next to Emrakul the Aeon's Torn with Annihilator 6. Huh. And then Sigarda Heron's Grace, with you and humans you control have Hexproof, right next to Emrakul the Promised End with the gain control of target opponent turn. So yeah, that's a thing.
Sigarda for president.
I mean, she's got to be the best option, right?
I mean, realistically, what else do we have in terms of angels running for president? I don't trust that one that has two heads. I'm not down with Gina for president. I don't understand that platform. That's designed for flip-flopping.
Damn, Gina.
Oh, hey, let me ask you guys a question.
Okay.
Uh-oh, this is spawned by politics. No, no.
No, God, no. I'm getting off that topic as fast as I can.
Okay, carry on then.
Yeah, okay. So I happened across a piece of trivia while looking some stuff up last week. Eldritch Moon. It's an expansion about to come out. Do you know what number expansion this is for Magic?
I'm going to guess entirely out of nowhere, 113.
All right. We're going to go Price is Right rules. So, Chewy, over to you.
Let's see. With 3 a year over 1 million years... Wait, when you say expansion.
Are you counting
yes.
like core sets and stuff?
I don't know. I think this number may include core sets.
Then.
Cause again, this is a random bit of trivia I stumbled across on the internet, so I don't know exactly how they calculate. They may have just gotten this number from a cat, okay?
Let's see. I'm going to take a random two guesses and say it's either 66 or 69.
It is 71.
Oh.
Oh, okay. What?
I was waiting for the punchline.
Yeah, I was expecting something like, do you believe that? I was like, okay.
No, I was just surprised.
I really assumed the number 13 was coming up somewhere.
Yeah, but yours was obviously way high, so.
You don't tend to really think about just how many expansions there have been over the years. But yeah, 71st.
I do when I try to use Gather.
I like the way that I was really close just trying to be funny.
Yes.
Like, I did a really brief run through of, okay, 4 year, 20, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. But damn. So that means that Oath of the Gatewatch was the 69th one?
Maybe.
We introduced. Well, if this is 71, then it would be two ago.
So unless they're counting Eternal Masters.
Oh.
Yeah, I guess it really does depend on how we count them.
Yeah. So whatever.
The point is, it's a bunch.
So what that cat said was 71.
That's right.
I blame a Johnny as he sits there smugly with Elspeth's clothes. Because what up, dude? That's weird.
Yes.
It's canon.
Yes. But so are we.
So yeah, speaking of weird things people do, Magic Online.
Oh, wait. I found one more link. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Oh, I put this link here earlier.
It's okay. Magic Online's used to waiting.
That's true, yeah.
It's buffering.
So you guys know the...
Please wait.
Well, I mean, it's Tuesday night, so it might as well be Wednesday, right? So...
the real player treatment. It'll get there someday.
You guys remember the CMDR Dex videos?
Nope.
Yeah.
They're... Nice clues. It's a thing that Uriah put together a very extremely stupidly long time ago, and they're on Gathering Magic, and they're on the CMDR Dex YouTube channel. And I've done a few and a couple of, well, Mike has done a few and they're, it's a lot of fun. It's where people show off their, EDH decks.
They do that thing that the guy in line behind you feels the compulsion to do, but not annoying.
The guy in line behind you.
Whenever I'm at any Magic event and someone has an EDH deck, they have a compulsive need to tell me and show me everything
trades,
in
trades?
The deck.
Do you have trades?
Well, there's those people too, but really if someone's standing there with an EDH deck, even at an anime convention, they're like, do you know about Magic Gathering? I'm like, yes. Let me show you 100 cards. What do you think about this deck? I'm like, I wasn't aware I was doing a deck tech. I was standing in line to buy pretzels. That's what happens.
You just smell like a magic nerd, Bill.
Clearly.
We can smell our own. But anyway, yes, the reason I bring really this show up is because, was this the most recent one? I would assume so, since you just sent it to me today. Yeah, it went up today. So the latest one is a deck tech from Igor, who is one of the hosts of the Elder Dragon Dirtle podcast here on the MTG Cast Network, which is on episode, are they at 10 yet? There are so many Magic podcasts now that I no longer have any idea. Elder Dragon Dirtle. Yes, they recently crossed 10 episodes. They've got 12 up, which means they're a real podcast now. Yay, good job, guys.
But do they have trades?
But anyway, he did a CMDR Dex video with some sexy ass Manipul sleeves, and he's got an awesome accent because Igor's from. Oh no, I had to send him sleeves. Igor, where are you from? Oh God, he's from Croatia. He's from Croatia. There we go. I bet he lives in Croatia. I don't know if he's from Croatia. Let me not. Like, clues was in North Carolina, but he wasn't from North Carolina.
Totally not and from North
see,
Carolina.
See, because that offends people. But he lives in Croatia now, and he's got the best accent, and I had no idea what he looked like. Like, he's been a Manipul listener forever, but I had no idea what he looked like. Well, now I do, because, you know, he's in the video. So, yeah, it's an Alesha Who Smiles at Death CMDR deck tech, and he's been working on this and, like, talking about it forever now, so... It's good to see that he's put it up on the CMDR Dex channel. It's freaking sweet. But anyway, I'll throw the link in the show notes there because it's promoting both CMDR Dex and a fellow MTG Cast show and a fan and some Manipul sleeves and an awesome deck. So yeah, hell yeah. But hang out and check out the CMDR Dex like channel because you'll find all kinds of decks, all kinds of people. All kinds of players. Like, he's got several by Sheldon Minery. He's got several by me. Those are about the two extremes. But you've got the people who, like, have pimped out their deck and have, like, foiled out their deck and have altered out their deck. Or you get people like me who are like, here's some cards I had that I thought would play well together. And look, I built a deck. You know, so it's Commander for all flavors of people. So go check it out. It's on YouTube. Give him a subscription, that sort of thing. And you should do that because YouTube recently went through and like canceled a bunch of like old inactive accounts. So all YouTubers lost subscribers, even me.
Oh.
Like I lost something like 30 and I was like, what just happened? And then I saw that, you know, other people lost like millions. I was like, oh, okay. Well, maybe not quite that many. 500,000.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Magic Online, is it done loading yet?
Probably. I mean, fortunately for this week, it's Tuesday and not Monday, so this is actually relevant news for everybody. Also means next week we won't have Magic Online.
So now we have even less to talk about next week.
Yeah. So we're sort of stealing from next week. We are pre-buffering. So
is that what prefetching is? I don't understand.
This is that thing where you're trying to load a video in YouTube and you see that little bar that implies that it's done buffering, but it's a total lie and you hit play and it still buffers.
Okay.
That's what this is. So we are lying from the future. In the present. So Magic Online news comes out every Tuesday. So this is actually fresh news. So first up on the Magic Online link, we've got the Legacy Festival is shifting into its conquer phase because it has one of those apparently. And the important thing to know is that
I wasn't aware that the Legacy Festival was at war.
Yeah, it's always at war, dude. It's Legacy.
And war.
Are you kidding?
Changes.
This is the war of blue versus decks that splash blue. Never ending problems. Goblins can come too. And so, yeah, with the release of Eternal Masters, they've been pushing Legacy for a bit. And after a few weeks of like Phantom events and other things to actually get Legacy cards in circulation, they're finally moving into the phase where they have a big tournament. So on July 24th will be the Legacy Festival Championship. To qualify for that championship, you have to get 5 wins in the competitive Legacy League between July 6th, which is Wednesday of this week, through the 20th. If you get 5 wins, then you'll also get a promo ponder, and players who only get 4 wins during that time get a less shiny but identical ponder because this is Magic Online, so have fun with that. But more importantly, if you want in on that, there's a link in the show notes to where you can find out about the cost and all of that stuff. I'm not going to go into it here. Also going on in Magic Online world, because we're in the run-up to a new set, they're bringing back the Vintage Cube, which will run between July 13th and July 29th. This is their way of sort of spackling over the fact that there's a slight delay between when a set comes out in real life and when it gets to Magic Online. So you'll get a chance to play Vintage Cube for a bit. If you would like to see what's going on in the Vintage Cube, there's some links here to what all the cards in it and an article talking about, you know, the philosophy behind this particular iteration of it. Making our way through the Year of Modern Flashback. So last week we went into Shards of Alara, which is the wondrous 3-color sets, with 5 shards, as we call them now, including the original band. And this week they're adding Conflux, or as I like to think of it as everyone is running 5-color decks. I hope you have better cards. Because Conflux is the most ridiculous level of fixing I have ever seen in Magic. There is a cycle of creatures that you can discard to get the lands you need. They have like basic cycling, essentially. It's pretty ridiculous. It's also got all the fixing from actual Alara, and it's all intended to go 4 or 5, because Domain's a mechanic that's floating around. So pretty much as Conflux goes on, everyone gets all 5 basics out, unless they've got a very, very focused deck.
I don't remember the creatures you're talking about.
The basic land cycling creatures? There's like one in each color.
Oh, they actually had basic land cycling. Okay. Now it snapped into my brain. Well, you said it had like basic cycling basically or something like that, and I went.
Oh, yeah. Basic land cycling is the ability.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. I remember those. They are also good for the late game to punch your opponent.
Essentially, in the early game, if you need a land, you go get it by basic land cycling. If you draw it late and you don't need it, most of them are pretty reasonable, you know, beefy creatures. So you're not really losing a lot out of your deck to run them. Combined with all the fixing from Alara, and you have all that nonsense going on. It's a fun set. This is where Nicol Bolas got his Planeswalker card. So you too can make a slowdown deck and try to get Nicol Bolas out.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty satisfying when you do. Considering you could also pick up some of those ultimatums from the last set and do a slowdown for that. There are plenty of reasons to slow the game down, although it can get a bit aggressive once you get past like turn three. Because if I recall, most of the time before, the first few turns were nothing but getting to five colors of mana as fast as possible and then doing nonsense. And this will continue on in another week when we get to Alara Reborn, which is the all gold set. So.
Literally. Yeah. Every card is multicolored.
And the way they teased that was actually pretty neat because they posted the first card in the set and they didn't give us any text or anything on it, but we figured it out because we looked at the card's number, which was 001, and it was a gold card, so we immediately knew it was an entirely gold set, which is kind of cute.
Yeah, we were like, well, except for all the lands and artifacts. Nope, no lands. The artifacts are multicolored too.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy.
It was. Oh, the good old days.
Yeah, that was special. Isn't it fun, Chewy, now that we're up with the stuff that you got to talk about on the Manipool?
It is a little weird, yeah.
Yeah. We're making our way through Modern. And so, anyway, Conflux starts this week, so check it out if you're interested in playing super, super gold magic and really high power card magic, because you're running around with some crazy powerful cards due to the gold theme. So certainly check that out. And, oh, did you say something?
What?
Oh, it sounded like someone was breathing in to interrupt me.
That's weird.
Yeah, I know. It's like a computer. There's the present. Got there. All right. So, yeah, other than that, Yeah, Wednesday the 6th. Downtime is back after a few weeks of no downtime, so normal nonsense going on there. And finally, they released a new bug blog, which didn't really have a lot in it, actually.
Hey, that's a good sign, right?
No, I mean, it's either they're not finding problems or the problems aren't there. Believe what you want to believe.
I want to believe.
Slow loading website. All right, well, while that loads, I'll tell you from reading it earlier, there was only really one relevant issue on it. And that involved some creatures that came in with a bunch of plus one counters or something were only getting one. And if the website didn't just crap out on me right now, I would tell you it's once.
Many cards that grant a bonus to other permanents based on the number of counters on them grant only plus one instead of the correct scaling bonus. Notably, this affects Joraga Warcaller and Sigil of Distinction.
Well, there you have it.
If you hit stop, like if you have a picture, it's just not done loading. If you hit stop, everything's there.
Oh, okay. Well, I got the aw snap message from Chrome, so I don't have any page.
Screw you, Chrome.
So, but yeah, there you have it. Now it's loading for me. But yeah, I looked under it before. That was the only update over the version that I went over last week. So everything else, still nonsense unless it was fixed. If you use Magic Online, you should take a look at it and at least familiarize yourself with some of the known issues because it's a little bit harder to apply for reimbursement on problems that have been known for a while since, you know, it's a lot harder to convince them you aren't going for an exploit or something since it's widely known. So yeah, just be aware. And that's pretty much it for Magic Online. It's going to probably be pretty quiet on the Magic Online front other than this, crazy Legacy Festival nonsense because they're not going to get the new set until about a week after it comes out, which will be 2 weeks after we played at the pre-release. So it'll be behind.
Yay, Magic Online.
Yay, Internet.
So then,
shall we make bad financial decisions?
Let us make bad financial decisions, or let you make bad financial decisions.
All right. So for those just joining us, a few weeks ago when it came out, I picked up 4 packs of Eternal Masters with the goal of opening 1 pack a week and keeping track of how much money I lose.
All right. I have the commons up on MTG stocks.
Awesome. For reference, at this point, after 2 packs, I am at -$8 because each of these packs costs $10 and both of them so far have been worth about $6. So nice. We're at -8. That's kind of rough. When I open this one, we will be starting at -$18. Let's see how well we can try to approach zero. Go team. This is sort of a reminder of the fact that $10 packs are dumb. until you open something amazing, and then you love it forever and have no concept of actual fate. See, look, the first card is Humble. This is how we learn, Chewie.
That's a good way to teach it, yeah. What else you got?
Duress. I think that's been printed every set.
Yep.
Yeah. Borderland Marauder, because attack.
That is not worth it.
No.
No.
Rally the Peasants.
I severely doubt that that's worth anything.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, it is totally not.
Oh, look, I'm 3 for 3 on opening Yavimai Enchantress.
Nice. Hey, all three of them are 70, almost 75 cents.
Yeah.
Together.
Gonna make that Enchantress deck.
Yeah.
I got another Cephalid Sage.
Nope.
A Nimble Mongoose.
Ooh, that one is like 40 cents by itself.
Ooh, that's an improvement, I guess.
Yeah, I mean.
Good old Shroud, guys. Another Manowar, because jellyfish.
Gotta love that.
White Mane Lion.
Nice. He's fun, but not good.
Yeah.
Or not. Nausea. Nausea. I had that yesterday.
Oh, wow. Well.
I've experienced that.
Yeah.
The leading killer of very tiny tokens. Probably not worth anything.
No, definitely not.
Oh, here. So we're in the uncommons. Here's a decent one.
Okay.
Has anyone ever heard of a card, Swords to Plowshares?
There you go.
267.
Yeah, that's up there.
All right, I will set it down in the relevant pile. All right.
Oh, so wait a minute. With the Nimble Mongoose, that's $3. Boom, just like that.
Get there, right?
Yeah.
And was the Yavimai Enchantress relevant?
She's at like 24. So no.
No. Okay. Up next is Merfolk Looter, which has been printed a million times, so I doubt it.
Yeah, that's no.
A Phyrexian Gargantua.
I'm going to guess not. Gargantua, not. Nope.
Nope, 22
cents. That's a good card. Is that the 4-4?
The 4-4 for 6, who, when he enters the battlefield, you draw 2 cards and lose 2 life.
Yeah, I love that guy, but he's not worth anything.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Hey, Clues, I got a mythic for you.
You do?
Yeah.
What do you got?
Balance.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's $4.
$4.
So wait, you got $7 out of this pack.
Yeah.
Wait, what's your shiny?
Not relevant.
Oh, is it not?
Desperate Ravings. And how?
You are correct. That is not relevant at all.
I went from Humble to Desperate Ravings with a little bit of balance in the middle.
Let me check the foil price on that. It is. Well, I mean, it says 78 cents.
That's generous.
Yeah.
Okay. So the net haul for this week is $8?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to count the foil, then it's almost 9. Or did you count the foil? Hang on.
I think I was counting the foil there.
Because it was 4 and 3. Yeah, okay. Then yeah. So look at that. You only lost 2 this week.
All right.
You're now at buy
minus $10.
You're now at buy 2 packs, pay for a third.
Buy 2, get minus 1 free.
Yeah.
Buy 3, get 2. Aw.
That's...
Wasn't it supposed to be free? No, it's just buy 3, get 2.
Yeah.
All right, so clearly next week, I have to open a better mythic.
you do, yeah.
Otherwise, this will not have been worth it.
Imagine that.
Oh, man, I'm learning what an EV is already.
An EV is a thing that you can never obtain.
Yeah.
Well, being all down to earth like this is depressing. Clues. Everyone is all talking about space.
Yes.
So, there are things there.
As well as everyone should keep looking up.
We're going to need you to do a sky check for us. Yes. Tell us what's going on.
Okay, well, first of all, the sky is still there.
Good.
Don't panic.
Are you sure?
So I miss it.
I did a drive today, right? I just drove to Stanleytown, Virginia. It's a little over an hour from the dealership.
Sure.
During that drive, I got rained on real, real hard for like 15 seconds.
Okay.
Like there was no, oh, it's sprinkling and now it's raining a little harder. Now it's pouring. No, it was nothing. Pouring. Done. And I was like, that was really weird. Cause usually, you know, you get a buildup, but no, it's just there. And on the drive back, everything was wet. Everything. On the drive up, everything was dry. I got rained on for 15 seconds. On the drive back, everything was soaked. It was bizarre. And are you sure the sky is still there?
The planet was fighting back against those aliens from Signs.
Oh, okay.
I guess that was probably easier than getting a pantry.
Or a baseball bat.
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta. No, but the big important news was that yesterday, in the wee hours of the night, between when we should have recorded and when we are now recording, the Juno spacecraft has arrived at Jupiter. This is big, exciting, important news. This is our first probe to Jupiter since the mid-90s. I want to say that one was deorbited. The previous one was Galileo.
Right.
Galileo was the first probe to actually orbit Jupiter. Everything else previously had been a flyby, you know, where you just zip on by.
Where you just fly
pictures.
By and just take shots, and you don't really slow down because
that's
you know,
right.
the police.
Because actually getting into orbit is tricky. So Galileo was the last one there, mid-90s. It is now dead. We dropped it into Jupiter, by the way, to make sure that we didn't accidentally pollute the moons of Jupiter with microbial life from Earth.
Because I hate it when that happens.
So we dropped it into Jupiter. It's in Jupiter now.
It is.
So how many more until we get a sun?
In fact, here's – well, ooh, boy, howdy.
We're only a few years late.
Boy, howdy, a lot. So here's the great thing about Galileo when we dropped it in Jupiter. Jupiter, you think of it as a gas giant, right? So it's a big, big ball of gas, and you're thinking, oh, it's gas. It's no big deal. But as you go into the interior of Jupiter, the pressure and the temperature ramp up real fast. They get out of hand quickly. And so the Galileo spacecraft, when it went in, it very quickly died. Because the pressure got too high and the temperature got too high. And it kind of crushed all of the components that it could, and it melted all of the components that it could until it was deep enough that even the like titanium hull that it was made out of completely melted. So here's what we actually did. There is a chunk of melted junk from Earth now in Jupiter. We have littered in Jupiter.
Because
it's what we do. Okay, we went to the moon and we left behind a car, among other things.
Well,
a bunch of other stuff I don't really want to talk about right now, and a really nice camera. I feel bad about it.
What's really going to get you clues is later when we finally go back to the moon, we're going to find the car there, but the wheels are going to be gone.
Mars is practically littered with rovers, like everywhere you go, because we send them there. Some of them still operate, some of them not so much. Some of them we just, you know, ran right into the planet because unit conversions are a lot tougher than you think they are. But in this case, we did pollute into the center of Jupiter, which is pretty
awesome. Look, in our defense, we said move and it didn't. Mars just stayed there.
This is true. We honked our horn and everything. And
that's why we send space cars.
Nothing right into it. So we sent Galileo. Now we have sent Juno. This is the latest spacecraft to go there. It's going to be orbiting wicked close to Jupiter once it gets all set up, which is pretty tough. Jupiter's kind of a rough place to be because it's a very massive planet. So gravity is kind of bad real close. You got to get your orbit right or you're going to end up right into that puppy. But also the magnetic field at Jupiter is shockingly large. Second largest magnetic field in the solar system after the sun. So to have our electronics actually function in that environment is pretty tough.
Impressive.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
The spacecraft itself is impressive for a couple of reasons. Previous spacecraft that we have sent there, we got them there by doing what's called a gravitational slingshot, not just for Star Trek IV. Doing a gravitational slingshot. I like how we came back to Star Trek.
Was that the
around, you could have stuck with the 2001, one? Dude.
Other planets. The Juno spacecraft, we only did a slingshot around Earth. So we launched it. It went out in elliptical orbit, came back by Earth, swung around, gained some speed, shot out to Jupiter in only 5 years, which is pretty fast. And then went into orbit around it, which is pretty tricky. You know, so next time you're outside at night and it's a clear night, find Jupiter. Jupiter's up in the nighttime sky right now, this time of year, right after dusk. You can see it.
It's
that little tiny. That little tiny dot, we launched a spacecraft on a rocket off the surface of the Earth, and we got it to that dot. Now, the thing is, you can't really aim at that dot. You have to aim at where that dot will be in 5 years, but that's not even really what we did.
It's like Space Invaders.
We aimed at that dot by swinging it by another planet to hit where it's going to be in 5 years when we did it. And the Juno spacecraft is also interesting in that it has massive solar panels. So the previous probe that we sent, Galileo, that was actually nuclear powered. It had, I think it was plutonium on board. And it was actually just using the waste heat from plutonium decay to...
Wait, rewind. Did we nuke Jupiter?
Kind of.
How do you kind of nuke a planet, Clues?
Because you didn't have a critical mass of it. You didn't really nuke it.
So you're saying it quit.
You just made it slightly more radioactive.
We dirty bomb little, Jupiter?
We just gave it a little plutonium. It's fine.
Yeah. Here,
you
we
say
got
this,
to
look at how big it is.
Jupiter's not going to notice.
Look at how big Jupiter is, Clues. We did that.
Trust me, not going to notice. Now, if it's not like we sent a gamma bomb and now it turns green when it's angry.
Oh, that would be terrifying.
To my knowledge.
I don't want to know when Jupiter's angry. I don't like it when it's angry.
Anyway, a lot of people got pissed that we sent radioactive material as a battery into space. They don't like it when we do that because, you see, you take all that radioactive material and you put it in a probe and you set the probe on top of a giant pile of explosives and launch it into space. People get real touchy about what's going to happen if the rocket doesn't quite make it to space. So we don't do that a lot anymore. I'm not saying it doesn't ever happen, but it doesn't happen a lot. So Juno actually has these giant solar panels to try and get enough power. Cause I mean, it's, you know, way out there at Jupiter. So there's not nearly as much sunlight as here. And you see how much solar power we get here. So, yeah. It's interesting, but it's gonna look at a whole bunch of great stuff in Jupiter. We'll get lots of wonderful data from it real soon. It's still in the process of settling into its final orbit. But yeah, it'll be pretty impressive.
That's an inverse square law thing, right?
It is an inverse square
law. The amount of sunlight that Jupiter gets.
That is absolutely correct. Yes.
Yeah. Look that up. Listeners, if you don't know what we're talking about, and you'll see how much sun that Jupiter doesn't get compared to us.
Right.
It's borderline nuts. Like, from Jupiter, the sun is just, like, a little brighter than the background stars, right? Or do you have to go further out for it to be that dim?
You gotta go further out.
Okay.
It'll still be quite
dim. You can tell it's the sun, but it's not, like, the blazing ball of heat that we see. It's, you see that really bright speck? Yeah, that's the sun. As opposed to all the other specs.
So yeah, it's gonna take readings of the atmosphere, the magnetic field, the gravitational distribution of mass. It's gonna look at a whole bunch of great stuff. So I'm really looking forward to what we're gonna see from Juno.
Is it gonna check in on all those moons?
Yes.
All those moons floating around its husband?
It does have a god awful. Jupiter has a shocking number of moons.
Well, yeah, it collects them.
Yeah, when I was a kid, the number that we were aware of was like in the 20s or 30s.
Yeah.
And now it's in the like bazillions.
I believe it is in fact bazillions.
So one of the most inspirational things I own that I still have up is this poster of the solar system from when I was like 7. And I love how rapidly inaccurate it's become over the course of my life. Because it's just so wonderful that these things are still happening. It's just a constant reminder of how we are still finding things all the time.
Yeah.
Also, it has Pluto on it. So, you know, comfort.
Pluto's still there.
It totally is.
I haven't seen it lately.
Have you ever seen it?
Oh, now you're making it personal. That's cold, Clues. That's real cold.
I'm just asking.
We did when we said, oh, God, what was the one that went to Pluto? Or the way close enough...
Which, by the way, they just announced New Horizons is going to try and hit another Kuiper Belt object.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. Is it going to honk first?
Well, it's not going to actually hit it. It's going to go take some more data.
Oh, that's way better. I like this plan a lot more.
But yeah, I think Jupiter is up to 67 moons at this point.
Good lord.
Just in case anybody was curious.
Is it trying to keep up with magic sets?
To be clear, most of them are crappy. It has 4 good ones, and the rest are just, you know, little hunks of rock and ice.
4?
That's rude.
Am I thinking of Saturn? I'm thinking of Saturn that has actually bazillions. Excuse me.
Saturn, I think, is still in the 60s as far as moons go. But if you want to get really technical, some of those moons aren't better than some of the particles in its rings. So if you want to count the stuff in the rings...
Well, no, you don't want to count those, because that would actually be bazillions.
Oh, and do we want to count the Trojan asteroids as moons? Because they're not really, but kind of.
It does only have the 4 big ones. I completely...
Yeah, Jupiter's...
Can you tell how long it's been since I did basic astronomy?
I'm going to go with a while.
Well, I mean, it's been sophomore year of college?
A while.
Yeah. So moons of Saturn. Oh, okay, here are all of the ones that I recognize. Okay, yeah. Okay, sorry. I am bad at it. See, unlike Clues, who, you know, astronomy is his job, it's just the thing that I used to know about. My bad. Is my ignorance hanging out? Let me zip that up.
It is. It's cool, though. Yep, 62 moons of Saturn. I was right.
Nice.
I check every semester because when I teach my intro course on astronomy, when we get to each of these planets, I have to tell them how many moons there are. So I have to actually check and make sure we haven't found more.
So you do a space check?
I do a space check.
Okay. Still there?
Still there.
Sweet.
Sweet.
I'd miss it.
Space?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It'd be lonely if it was gone.
Yeah, because then where would the invaders come from?
The past.
Buh. Was it in 2010 that they ignited Jupiter?
Yes.
2010,
been,
yeah.
It's been so long since I read those that I couldn't remember.
Yeah, 2001 is when we're like, hey, look, something at Jupiter. And 2010 was like, holy crap, that thing at Jupiter makes more things at Jupiter. Spoiler alert. And then nobody bothered with the other stories.
I mean, I've read 2061. I remember it being aight. And then 3001, I really actually didn't like.
Yeah, no one liked 3001.
Okay.
2010 was the last one to get a movie.
I don't even know if that counts.
Do you have a favorite moon of either Jupiter or Saturn?
Well, it's clearly Titan. Because that's where Thanos is from.
See, I'm going to go with Telesto.
Because you're a moon snob?
Scientist?
Nope, because I play Destiny, and it's a fantastic gun.
Look, if we're talking like moons that we like because of video games, I'm going all the way out to Pluto. Because Charon is actually a mass relay, and that enables me to go to space forever.
Okay, well, if we're going to go with ones you like from video games, then I'm going to go with the moon with a face on it that's going to crash.
Three more days!
That moon, no.
That moon's creepy.
By the way, for anyone who is at all interested in that moon, Game Theory on YouTube did a video about why that's not actually scary.
Which moon?
The moon in Hyrule hitting Hyrule. Because at the rate that it's going, it would just sort of land. It would be like, bonk, we're here. Hi.
I mean, it kind of does just sort of land. It just lands on a city.
Yeah, but
what's it called? Termina?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just sort of chilling. Like, they should really be crushed by some gravity or something. But yeah. Regardless.
The math of its size and approximate density and the speed at which it's falling, which it's not really, it's sort of just kind of lightly floating, it would just sort of go down and that's it. Like there's no way you're going to die from it because you could just walk out of the way.
Yeah, but they're stuck in those places because time travel.
Because poor coding of old games.
They're defending the one bank that lets you send money back in time.
That is important, yeah. Anyway.
That game's going to be HD soon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I've still never played that one.
I wonder if they're actually just going to do, actual Ocarina of Time HD and then steal all the assets again.
It would make the most sense.
Yeah.
I can't wait until they get around to, like, Link to the Past HD. Because they're working their way backwards and just making HD.
Did you see
versions.
The fan thing where they actually had someone who built the first area in 3D, so that you're walking around like Link's uncle's house and stuff in the Ocarina of Time engine?
I have not.
It is weird.
I did see a long time ago someone was working on a virtual reality original Legend of Zelda.
Oh man, there's no way I'm moving.
Wait,
that much.
was it virtual? No, I don't think it was virtual reality. It might have just been first person. But still, they only had a few screens done, but it was brilliant. But I don't know if it ever got finished because it was more of a labor of love than anything else. Anyway, so now we're just sitting here talking about nothing.
Yeah, that's what people usually have to tune in after the show for.
Okay, here we go. Someone is remaking Classic Zelda in first-person 3D and virtual reality. This was from 2014 on TechCrunch.com, but I don't know how much ever got finished, which makes me very sad. Oh, yeah, it was VR on the Rift, Oculus Rift. Yeah, yeah. I'll throw that in the show notes just because we talked about it. But anyway, so we should be done now.
Okay.
So go for it, you guys.
Oh, why? So, you can follow me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinAbob. There's no I in Goblin because we chucked it into Jupiter to see what happens. It turns out Jupiter is bigger than the eye, and the eye is now gone. But it was not thrown into the eye of Jupiter because that would trigger some kind of paradox. Don't worry about it. You can also go to enchantworld.com and submit stories about pretty much everything related to magic at this point. I've got a bunch of topics up. It's the place where I ask people to send in stories, and then when I get enough of them of any given topic, I'll release a compilation episode. Also, I'm very slowly trying to go through and just get some starter interviews on a bunch of the topics to get things going. We'll see where it goes. Things have gotten pretty slow. They weren't really exceptionally fast after the first batch, so we'll see. I mean, I obviously want to keep doing it, but it's hard to say that I'm doing it when I've released 2 episodes in 6 months, so who knows?
It's bad when I'm doing better on 3 questions.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
And again, like, if it just turns into a thing where I have to just directly interview people instead of relying on, you know, people sending me stuff, then I'll probably do more of that at this point. So we'll see. But beyond that, yeah, just follow me on Twitter. Tell me about all the things that I've done wrong. Like, I know some of you are already letting me know that Majora's Mask 3D came out a few years ago. I don't care. Have fun with that. But this is how we get attention. And past that, yeah, go Clues.
Okay, boy, geez, I wasn't expecting that so fast, but here we are. So, if you want to hear more of me, you can find me on the Random Discard podcast here on the MTG Cast Network and on our own website, randomdiscard.com. Although actually it hasn't been fully transitioned, that just redirects to the old site. If you can't find us on MTG Cast, because apparently some people haven't been able to find us, you could look us up under our old name, which is how I think you'll actually find us, which is Card Advantage. Rich and I recorded last week. I haven't finished editing it yet, but we did not actually talk about magic. We talked about other stuff. Hence the random. Tune in. Maybe you'll like it. Maybe you won't. This week, though, we're totally talking about magic, specifically the set.
If you go to MTGcast and type in random discard.
Yeah, does it just come up?
It just comes up. So whoever can't find you is clearly doing it wrong.
Well, then do it right.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'll say. Keep looking up. Look for news about Juno coming real soon. And of course, you can find me on the Twitters. I am at LockLuzé, spelled probably like it is in the show notes. I don't know. I don't control the show notes.
I control the show notes.
And the vertical.
But not the horizontal, oddly enough.
That is really difficult.
That's why I am so fat. Oh. Have you really only done 3 random discard episodes?
I thought it was 4.
I guess you, do you have number 4 now? Cause.
Well, I didn't tag the first one's random discard when we switched the name. We were using both at the same time. I might be doing the 4th one that's going to get tagged that way now.
Okay. Cause the first one listed as random discard on here is Card Advantage, or random discard - Card Advantage - episode 111 and then 12 and then 13.
Yeah, I thought 14 was posted. Am I wrong? Is it 14 I'm working on right now? I think it's 14 I'm working on right now. Look. Some bad things happened, including surgeries that totally screwed with our recording schedule. So, sorry.
Yeah, Clues almost died. Give him a break.
I did.
Clues.
Yeah?
There's only one rule.
Don't die.
No dying. Oh, were you done?
Yeah, take it away, Chewie.
Oh, okay. Then that means it's just me, and you can follow me on Twitter at TheManaPool. You can send me an email to Chewie, that's C-H-E-W-I-E, at mtgcast.com. You can check out The ManaPool over on TheManaPool.com, or if you want to hear it like multiple weeks late, then you can look for it here on MTGcast. My bad. On the YouTube channel, not much is going on at the moment. I finished Magic Duels, Oath of the Gatewatch story in Magic Duels, like I said, and since then, haven't posted much because I have forbidden myself from recording many more videos until 3 questions is done. So the 3rd episode of Speedrunners went up, which is that 2D cartless Mario Kart style game that I did with Billy from It Might Be Gaming, Rob from the Retro League, and my old roommate and webmaster Scott.
And boxes!
And boxes! I love that game. I actually did an episode of the Retro League this weekend, which should be up sometime this week, I assume.
which you can find at theretroleague.com, where every year they look back 20 years on movies. So we did 1996 in movies. Do you know what the highest grossing movie in 1996 was?
96?
It was Independence Day.
Nice.
By a wide margin.
Yeah.
I mean, like, almost double what Twister made, which was number two.
It was about the point in time when every known form of nature became a disaster movie, right?
Yeah, because it seems like Twister was one of the early.
Yeah, we had ones. Twister, and then we had Volcano and Dante's Peak. And we made our way through until we finally got to a movie actually called Hard Rain.
Which was not a disaster movie.
No. Wait,
wasn't that a PlayStation game?
No, that's Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain, I'm
Which
sorry.
Which is a different disaster movie.
That's a different disaster, anyway.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with, like, Alan Wake for some reason. I don't know why that popped into my head, but in my brain, Alan Wake and Heavy Rain get mixed up, and I don't know why.
That is so different.
Tweet at me and let me know why those get confused in my head. I've never played either one. That might have something to do with it.
Don't tell them why.
Please do, because I'm confused. And I'm not going to look it up myself, because I don't care that much.
Fair enough. The slowest form of Kibler Google.
It's true, yeah. But I do have the Tavern Brawl going up every week. I'm about, let's say, have roughly halfway done with the next three questions. Between illness and working and social responsibilities, we actually had a college. Like, so at university, I was in a residential college, and that residential college had a reunion this weekend. Last weekend. Whatever, the one that just happened. And it was a lot of fun to see not only two of my Manipool co-hosts, but a bunch of other people I haven't seen in a good long time. So that was fun. But I was wiped out for the rest of the day because it was outside for some stupid reason, which means when I got home in the air conditioning, I, like, died and woke up an hour or so later and was just miserable. So I think I might have been out in the sun a little too long. But anyway, various excuses plus driving. Haven't gotten three questions yet. But like I said, it's about halfway done. So yay. Look for that. Sometime this week, I'm going to say, I hope. I had a drive today. I have another one tomorrow morning, which is why I should stop talking and end the show so I can get the show posted so I can go to bed. So, if you want to help support what I do with all of the podcasts and the video production and the three questions and all of that, then check out the Patreon. You can find it at patreon.com/themanipool, where you can get Manipool episodes and YouTube videos early. If you want, you can get the odds and ends, which is all the stuff recorded before and after Monday Night Magic and the Manipool. They're uncensored, unfiltered, and basically unsafe for consumption. And this week's especially, you get to hear Clues rant up a swear-filled storm. And it was awesome.
I apologize in advance.
Apologize for nothing. It was brilliant. Bill, back me up.
It was an experience in which case I believe, yeah, if you've ever wanted to hear Clues and his opinions on, I don't know, movies he really hates, but in a manner that you couldn't say on public television, this is worth it.
It's totally awesome. Anyway, and if you want to help support Magic Podcasting in general, but not me specifically, I can't blame you, then you can go to mtgcast.com, click on the Support MTGCast button, sign up as a member for a small monthly donation, because while MTGCast remains completely free for all of us podcasters and completely free for all of you listeners, it is not actually completely free and actually costs a lot of money. So every little bit there definitely helps. And whether you're supporting me or MTGCast, let it be known that I appreciate you greatly. So that is that. This has been, right? That's that, right? Yeah.
That's that.
So keep looking up and whatever Bill would say. Don't buy Eternal Masters, I guess.
yeah, unless you, like, I did it for the cause. I didn't do it expecting to get any money back.
Yeah, he did it to illustrate a point to you poor people out there.
Just like I did last time.
Yeah. So.
There was Eternal, or a Modern Masters 2015.
Indeed. And remember, he came out way behind on that too, didn't you?
It was like minus $18. It was pretty awful.
Buh.
Four packs seemed like the right sample size because I didn't want to buy more than that. And considering this one's well on its way to being a potential minus $15, sure. I mean, I actually got a mythic and it still wasn't worth anything. So how's that feel?
Feels bad, man. So this has been Monday Night Magic episode 520 here on the MTG Cast Network. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some Magic.